All right, we're holding five lines from the bottom of your Daled Amud Beis. We've been learning, Gemara has been discussing the question of, we know we said in the Mishnah we had a machlokes with Shama Beis Hillel about this matter of Tzaret and Yevamos and so forth. We have several other cases also where Shama Beis Hillel argue in matters of marriage and in many other places throughout Shas. And we have the question whether Shammai actually, given that they were the minority, whether they actually followed their own opinion and practice. We talked about they may not have done so even before the Baskel because they knew they were the minority. On the other hand, they're sharper. They may have stopped doing so after the Baskel. On the other hand, maybe you don't have to pay attention to a Baskel. So we're still trying to prove, was there ever a time when Shammai actually followed their own opinion and practice? Yeah. Toshma, come, let's bring a proof. Bottom line, Rabbi Yechon Menuri says, how is this halacha about tzareis supposed to be kept among the Jewish people? Nasa kediver bit shammai. Should we follow bit shammai and say that there is zika, that the tzareis have a zika, and therefore that they need yivum? Have lad mamzer kediver bit hillel. Well, according to bit hillel, the kid from such a union will be mamzer because it's chayav kares. Nasa kediver bit hillel. Should we do like what bit hillel says? There's no zika at all. Have lad pogum. Then according to Bishamai, okay, the kid's not a mamzer because it's only an Isu Lav, but it's still pogum. Meaning, Rashi says, if the kid born from this is a kohen, he'll still be possible for the kohuna. There's different mepharshim that discuss, does this mean, are we talking about specifically if a daughter is born that she'll be pogum, and therefore that her descendants will be pogum, or are we talking about that the child himself? In other words, are we considering the daughter a halala? Only, but maybe the sons is not such an issue. Are we talking about such sons also born from that would be considered halalim? So either way, in other words, if Yavama goes and marries Yavama Lashuk without having Yibum or Chalitza, you still have, according to Bish Shammai, the kid's going to be pogum, because as we're going to have later on, at the bottom of Chesavav Amud Beis, we may not get to it today, but we'll see, a Kavah Chomer that proves this point. What should we do? Rabbi Yechon Menuri suggests, "Boyu nesaken lahem l'tzaris." Come, let's make a takana for these tzaris. Sheyucholtes v'loy misyavnis, that they should davka do chalitza and not yibum. That way, you seem to be covering all your bases. They won't get married in a way that the fill will hold this chayiv karis. Instead, but on the other hand, they won't be going l'shuk without, which is also according to Beis Shammai. They'll be having chalitza, so that should satisfy everybody. Yeah, but once they have chalitza, then they're not going to marry the yavam anymore. That's a given. After you do chalitza, you don't marry the yavam anymore. At that point, they can go marry Lashuk. They can go marry anybody else they want, and there's no problem, a pogum. Yeah. However, spiku ligmar tadavar achinutra fahasha. They didn't manage to conclude the matter to actually decide whether to make such a takana before the time became confused. What happened? Sometimes the word nitrufa shah means basically there was a war broke out, a tzara broke out or whatever, and then they were never able to sit and finish the matter. Doris sort of showing him, say for Jewish history, wants to say based on various historical sources that the Romans started harassing them and they were forced to scatter. Continues the Braisa. Amalahem Reb Shimon Gamliel. So Reb Shimon Gamliel says, well, you're saying that you want to, or says to Rabbi Yechon Menuri, actually, you want to establish the halacha that these women should not have yibum because you don't want that according to Beis Hillel, you're going to have a problem with Amzerus. Ma nasa lahem l'tzara tzara shon nismeata. What are we going to do now? If we make such a takana, what are we going to do about the tzaris from beforehand? The ones who already did yibum. If we conclude, we'll talk about it more on Amud Beis, but yeah, if we conclude that you're not supposed to do Yibum, that the halacha is like the civil, or that we want to make this compromise, effectively what you're saying is that these kids are mamzerim. We don't want to do that. Now, what's the point of bringing this in? Topic Tesvav Amud Aleph. Iyamet Bishlema also. If you say that Bishamai followed their own opinion and practice, so there were actually tzareis here who were having Yibum, and therefore there is this potential problem of their children being mamzerim, Hainu Dekama Manasseh. Well, then we understand what Reb Shimon Gamliel is saying. You have a real problem over here. You don't want to unnecessarily have to declare these kids mamzerim, but how are we going to do it? Ela Yamat Loi Asu. But if you're going to say, but Shammai never actually did in practice, there was never actually any such yibum done, my Manasseh, then what's Reb Shimon Gamliel's problem? Very nice. Up until now, there's been a machlokas. There's no practical problem out of it. If there was never a yibum done, if Bishamai, that's what we're asking, if that's the question. So that seems to prove that also. We're trying to go back and forth whether Asu or Lai Asu. This seems to be a clear proof that Asu, that Beit Shammai did act according to their opinion, that they were actually matir these Yevamos to do Yibum. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak says no. No, what Rav Shimon Gamliel will say, he's not necessarily talking about what's going to happen with the children. Let's say that Loi also, in fact, let's say that there never was a case where any of these Yavamas actually got married to her Yavam, where they ever actually did Yibum, and therefore there's no problem among Thayer. Fine. The question is, what about the Tzara herself?
Let's say that there was never any Yibum?
Let's say there was never, in practice, Loi Asu. The Shammai never followed their own opinion and made Yibum happen in these cases. But still, Rav Shimon Gamliel's question would not be about the children, it would be about the Tzara herself. If this Tzara goes according to Beis Yisrael and says there's no Zika and I can go marry anybody I want, the Manasseh is not someone talking, the Manasseh is what are we doing about the Tzara herself? What he means is like this: Hanach tzaris leBeis Hillel leBeis Shammai heichin eved lahu. These tzaris of Beis Hillel, who Beis Hillel was holding, there's no zika. They're allowed to get married. Now, if we're trying to compromise, if Rabbi Yechon Anuri is trying to compromise and say, let's find a way that they'll be that will satisfy Beis Shammai as well. Let's have them do chalitza. What do we do now after the fact that they already married somebody else? Lichaltu? Should they now do chalitza? The problem is mimasia gavraihu. That's going to cause them to be repulsive to their husbands, because the husband is now going to think, you know what, wait a minute. If you're saying that she needs chalitza, that implies all this time I've been married to somebody I wasn't allowed to be married to. It's going to drive a wedge between them. He might say, okay, but in order to avoid the issur lav from now on, it's worth it that for a little while he should feel repulsed. No, the Torah's ways are pleasant and peaceful. You don't want to unnecessarily cause a shalom bias issue by making her do chalitza. Actually, Mepharshim point out there could be a different issue as well. What if she's married to a kohen? Midrabanan, a chalitza is also to marry a kohen. If you're going to say she has to do chalitza at this point, after she's already married, she'd end up having, no, not so much, well, it'll be chalal and midrabanan, but the point is she'd have to divorce her husband. So Mepharshim say, okay, that's different. Here we're only saying chalitza because we're not sure. But Shammai b'Hillel, fine, we'll suspend the gzeira d'rabanan that a kohen can't marry a chalitza in this case. So the only problem is this mios that we're mentioning in the Gemara over here, but still. So you can't prove from this one way or the other whether Beit Shammai ever allowed these tzaras to do Yibum. Because it might mean, fakek, all this time people have been acting like this Hillel, but now if you want to give weight to Beit Shammai's opinion, then what are you going to do in order what are you going to do if you want to be Mesakin? Which, by the way, helps us explain what we mean, that we just said they didn't have a chance to make the takana before things got confused, because to make such a takana, you know, we usually think of, I mean, we come la'achar ha'maisi, you know, we come hundreds, thousands of years after a takana was made, you know, it seems to us fairly straightforward, you know, okay, the chachamim saw a takana that needs to be made, and they sat down one day, and they voted on it, and that's that. It's not so. We see from this that, for example, they have to consider all the different angles, all the different sides of it, and it can be a long discussion before they actually decide it. Yeah. Toshma, come, let's try to bring another proof. The Amr of Tarfin, Teivani, I have a desire. Masai Tovet Tzaras Habas LeYodi VeEsaena. When is there going to be a case when of a Tzaras Habas that I will be able to marry? In other words, he wants to be able to clearly establish that the halacha is like with Shammai. Reb Tarfin, we find in a couple of places, was from Beit Shammai. We have the famous story in Brachos over there, the Vikasi Likras Krishma, that he lay down at night to say Krishma. Which is what was in his Kanti Basmiya. So he was from Beis Shammai. So he's saying Halavaya should have a chance to actually follow the halacha in practice like this Shammai. Which sounds like it means that that nobody in practice was doing like this Shammai. Loy also, in other words, he's saying Halavaya should have a chance, or maybe Fakir, maybe it proves that also the case is not common enough. So nobody really knows whether Asu or not. He's saying, I hold that Asu, Beit Shammai should in fact follow their opinion in practice. Halavaya, I have the chance to do it. Incidentally, I mean, Tosfos HaRosh asks the question, I mean, what does that mean? If he wants to marry Tzaras Habas, that effectively means what, he wants his brother to die? So Tosfos HaRosh says, right, that's not what it means over here. He brings from his father, Rabbi Chiyo, that maybe it means that he wants there to be a case of a Tzaras Habas who's married to somebody else. who will have a chance. Not his own brother. On the other hand, Baruch Haner says, come on. I mean, eventually everybody dies. Reb Taufan has brothers. He's saying, given that, you know, eventually, after 120, both he and I are going to be dead anyway, halavai, it should happen that then that at least that he goes first to have a chance to show how the halacha should be done. That too, right. Yeah, that's also true. Yeah, true. Yeah. Right, also true, yeah. The Gemara says, no, not necessarily. Maybe what Reb Taufan means is fakir. Maybe he doesn't mean like this Shammai. Maybe he means fakir, like this Hillel. Halavai, there should be a chance at Sarah Sabas where I can marry her off to somebody else without having chalitza or yibum, like this Hillel says, that there's no zikah.
I marry her.
The Esa Enna will mean, and I will marry her. The Asi Enna means I will marry her off to somebody else. Says, what do you mean? He says, I have a taiva for it. I have a desire to be able to do this. That means, it, obviously, most people followed Beis Hillel. There's no question Beis Hillel followed their own shit. We never had a svara to say otherwise. Obviously, then, if he's saying, halavai, I have the chance to do it, it has to mean that he wants to do like the Shammai, not like Beis Hillel. So the answer is, not necessarily you can prove that. He might mean, it's true, the halacha, it's true, I want to be able to do in practice like Beis Hillel. It means without needing Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri's solution. Halavai, I should have a chance to show in practice that we don't even need Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri's solution. We don't even need his chalitza. Right. We're straight out, there's no zika, and she can go marry somebody else.
How is it that I'm moving?
Because that's what Beis Hillel was, there's no zika, because she saw us ever. Remember, she's the tzara of a person's daughter or wife's sister or what have you, all the 15 cases from the first Mishnah. Yeah, that's the whole machloekas we have over here, that Beis Hillel holds there's no zika, and Beis Shammai holds there is a zika. Toshma, come, let's bring another proof. It happened that Rav Gamliel's daughter was married to his brother, Abba, that was his name, Abba. Abba died without any children. The Yibim, Rav Gamliel, Sarasa, and Rav Gamliel did Yibim with this woman's Sarah. So there you have a case of Sarah Sabas. So this is actually Rav Gamliel's own daughter, was married to his brother, along with another woman, was also married, and Rav Gamliel did Yibim with the Sarah. That's exactly the case of Sarah Sabas that we mentioned in the Mishnah. So what do we see from that? It sounds like, it obviously sounds like you're doing in practice according to Beis Shammai. Yeah, awesome. You must have kissed it up. How could you even think that that's what it means? Rav Gamliel, Tamidim Beis Shammai, who? Rav Gamliel is not from the Tamidim of Beis Shammai. He's descended from Hillel. In general, the Mishnah does mention in Beitza that there were three things that Rav Gamliel used to fear Zich like Beis Shammai, but the implication is everything else he followed Beis Hillel. Obviously, then, we have to be talking about that he's following Beis Hillel. So according to Beis Hillel, why is he doing Yibum with her? According to Beis Hillel, it's also it's Chayav Karis. Ella shiny bitter Rav Gamliel da Iloinis Havoi. You have to answer it's different in this case. Rav Gamliel's daughter was an Iloinis, and we learned a few that from ago. No Kedushin to Tophis, but like an Iloinis is even worse off than an Erva. An Erva at least is Shayach to Yibum or Chalitza. It's just it so happens that the Yavam who's available is her father or he's married to her sister or what have you, and therefore it's impossible because. Mashenkin and Iloinis are not even Shayach to Yibum or Chalitza because we said Asher Teled. So therefore it's like she's completely out of the picture. It's as though this Iloinis was dead or divorced or what have you. So the Tzara is a regular Yavama. There's no Tzara. She's a regular Yavama. So obviously, Rav Gamliel says, so you can't draw any conclusion. Yeah. The Gemara asks, what do you mean? Hamid Katani Sefer? Why? We learn in the continuation of that Braise is, Acherim Oimrim, Acherim usually means Rav Meir, Bitter Rav Gamliel Iloinis Haisa, that the Rav Meir is saying that Rav Gamliel's daughter was an Iloinis. We call the Tanakama Savalai Iloinis Haisa. That implies the Tanakama holds she wasn't an Iloinis. So you're back to the question. If you say Rav Gamliel is following Beis Shammai, okay, but where does Rav Gamliel come in to follow Beis Shammai? He's from Beis Hillel.
Says Rav Gamliel says that she was an Iloinis.
No, Rav Meir, well, Acherim, which usually means Rav Meir, says that she's an Iloinis. The implication is that Tanakama holds she wasn't an Iloinis. So how does Rav Gamliel do Yibum with her? According to Beis Shammai, fine, but Rav Gamliel doesn't follow Beis Shammai. After the question, it seems like we have a machlokas on the historical facts. Was this daughter of Rav Gamliel an Iloinis or not? Which, I mean, you know, it doesn't have to be. I mean, it's not necessarily a machlokas in Metzius. We're going to learn when we get to the sugya of Iloinis in a couple of months from now in the pays. There's several different cases in where there's several different simonim that make a woman an Ilonis, and there's machlokas over there, just you have to have all of them or only some of them, and at what age are we talking about? So there's a lot of possibilities. There could be where she was one of these borderline cases where maybe the chachamim hold she wasn't, even though physically maybe she's infertile, she doesn't actually meet the criteria of an Ilonis, whereas Rameyah would hold, whereas Racherim would hold that she was. Yeah. Anyway. The answer is no. It's not a machloikas in that either. The machloikas between them is, was it that Abba knew beforehand that she was an Ilonis or not? We said the other day, we brought the other day, in the end we said not. Rava had said differently, but we had a day over there before that in the Gemara's discussion, that there's a difference whether the brother knew originally that she's an Ilonis and married her knowing that that was the case, or whether he married her not knowing, and afterwards he found out she's an Ilonis, where in that case we say that the Kedushin is bottle, because he wouldn't have married her if he had known. So that could be the difference then. No, not divorce her, but in other words, therefore we can say that then when he didn't have a chance to. He died. Yeah. So therefore we could say when the Tanakhama is saying the Tanakhama agrees, in other words, that she was an Ilonis, but he says that he didn't know about it, right? That he didn't know about it, so therefore the Kedushin was not Chal. And Rameyer says it doesn't matter, even though he did know about it. Nevertheless, the Kedushin is Chal, but still she's out of the picture because we said Asher Teilid.
That's a machlokes.
That would be the machlokes.
One believes when he doesn't know it's Chal, and
one believes that he didn't know, that the historical fact is he didn't know. He
right.
married her not knowing she's an Ilonis. Afterwards he found out.
Right.
So therefore, then we're saying that therefore it's as if the Kedushin never took place because it's Mekach Tos.
Right.
The whole thing is annulled.
Right.
And therefore when he dies, by that time it's been annulled because he found out before he died that she's an Ilonis. So the whole thing was annulled. So therefore the tzara is not the tzara of an erever. She's not the tzara of anybody at that
the
point.
Other opinion.
The other opinion is loy hikurba that's loy hikurba rather. Hikurba is rather that he knew to begin with she's an Ilonis and he married her anyway. So in that case the full fledged marriage. Then the only reason to say that Ram Gamliel should be able to do Yibum is because we'd say she's out of the picture because Asher Teilid, she's not Shayach to Chalitza or Yibum. Yeah. Not there's no Zika, but she's not Shayach to it at all, yeah. The Iboy Seima, or another possibility, Kanasolo says Girush Ikimenayu. You could also, the Machloikas between the Tanakhama and Achirim could be about the situation we discussed the other day, what came first, that he married the second wife or that he divorced the first one. So we talked about the possibility that maybe if he that maybe only if he first divorced the Ilonis or not even an Ilonis, it could even be a coincidence of China Kamba, she wasn't an Ilonis. But you have, for example, that she's married, the brother Abba is married to her Gamil's daughter. Then he divorces her. Then he marries this other woman. Then we could say this other woman's not a Tzoras Erva because they weren't married at the same time. Mashenkin, if first he married the other woman and then he divorced the Ilonis, or not even the Ilonis, again, then he divorced the daughter, then you would say she was still a Tzaras Erva at one point. Or we might say, as we said, the first Mishnah of the Masechta seemed to imply there's no difference. So that could also be the machlokas of the Chachamim and Achirim, whether the order matters or not.
She was an Ilonis.
No, forget about Ilonis. Rav Meir is saying since she's an Ilonis, she's out of the picture, so the order doesn't really matter. Whereas whether he married the second woman first or whether he divorced the first one first. Whereas the Tanakhama might say she wasn't an Ilonis. In fact, they are arguing on the Metzivus, in other words, whether she was an Ilonis or not. But the Tanakhama would say, okay, Abba divorced his niece first. Later on, he married this other woman. Good, they were never tzaris. So therefore, I'm going to be able to do Yibam with her.
When he had two wives at the same time.
Yeah. That they would have a problem, according to the Tanakhama. Or a third possibility, yesh tnai b'biyeh, it could be now. The machlokas between them could be whether you can say that the tnai, whether the tnai is still in effect after having relations. The Gemara, there's a couple of Mishnayos and Gemaras in Ksubas, which we'll get to later this year, Be'ez Hashem, that talk about a person marries a woman al tnai that she doesn't have certain problems. She doesn't have mumim, or she doesn't have outstanding nedarim that he's then going to have to be matir neder or whatever. Then it turns out she has some. Now, if it's now, so if it, the question is, what happens then? They went ahead, they got married, and they had relations. At that point, do we say that the Tanai is still in effect? Now, if we were to say the Tanai, now, let's say, for example, it turns out she does have Momim, or she does have Nadarim. If you're going to say that the Tanai is still in effect, that means that the Bia was Bias Nus. It means it wasn't a Bia for marriage. And in general, as we talked about yesterday, Ein Adam Oisa Bila Sibilas Nus. A person, when he has a choice, would rather that his Bila should be for a valid purpose. So you might argue that then he rescinded, he took back the Tanai before actually having relations with her. Or maybe not. Maybe we say the Tanai is still in effect, and therefore since the Tanai turns out she does have the Mumim, or she does have the Nadarim, then that's it. The marriage is annulled because it was a Mechatos, it was a mistake. That could also be the Machloikas over here. According to the Tanakama, we would say the Tanai is still in effect, even after Bia. So this Abba married Rabbi Gamliel's daughter. He made beforehand a Tanai Almanach that you don't have a mum or a daughter or what have you. Turns out, and they had relations. Turns out afterwards she did. According to the Tanakhama, you would say, okay, but since it turns out that she had a mum or a daughter, then that's it. The marriage is dissolved. You ignore her then. The other wife is not a Tzaras Erva. She never was a Tzaras Erva because there was never a marriage there. Whereas Achirim would say that no, once they had relations, the Tanai is automatically annulled because Abba wouldn't have wanted to do B'ilas Nus. So therefore, she is a full-fledged wife. So then she's a Tzaras Erva. The only reason you could say her Tzara is Mutter is if she's an Eilonis.
Tanai, they're saying in the second case that the Tanai standing because a man doesn't want to have to be...
No, forget it. The Tanai is dissolved, is annulled, because a person doesn't want to make be a listener.
The Tanai is dissolved.
Yes. So a man does kedushin with a woman.
Right.
I'm being the kaddish you, and I'm going to marry you on condition that you don't have any mumin. They go, they get married, they have a very nice chasana, they have relations.
Right.
Now at that point, he finds out she has a mum. That's the question. Are we saying the Tanai is still in effect? If the Tanai is still in effect, means there never was a marriage, means that their relations were Bialas Nus.
Right.
Maybe we don't want to say that. Maybe we want to say then that once he's ready, once they're about to do Bia, then he mentally annuls that Tanai in order that it shouldn't interfere with their marriage, in order that it shouldn't interfere with the Bialas. That's the Machloikas of it. That could be one way of looking at the Machloikas between the Chachamim and between the Tanakama and Achirim over here.
Even if
she has Mumim, we're still going to stay married. Yeah.
The thing is that if it's the
It is a problem, but then, okay, he'll have to go and arrange for Atar Sadarim for her.
He made the decision without knowing whether or not she had a Mumim.
Right. Or
the
first
thing I was that if there's a mum, I won't.
And then he changed his mind.
But then he finds out a year later on, after that, the race, she has a
nether
on herself.
Okay.
That she won't eat the flour, whatever it is.
So then in that case, he'll have to arrange for Atar Sandarim. But that's the question. In other words, do we say that once he finds out she has a neder, that's it? He says, you know what, the whole marriage never happened. All of the B'ilas we were doing were B'ilas Nus, or not? Would a person prefer not to have B'ilas Nus, even if it means that he's going to have to now find a Beis Din and then be Matir his wife's Nedarim?
Or we're saying even...
That's the question. Yeah.
Right.
So therefore, there's no proof one way or the other whether anybody actually acted according to Bais Shammai, because it could have been a special case. Most of Reb Masharshia. Reb Masharshia says, I have another case that I can bring to you to show that a person follows Bais Shammai. We learned this in Rosh Hashanah, that it happened that Rabbi Akiva one time picked an Esrog on Rosh Chodesh Shvat, but not by Bezi Surin, and he took two Meisters from it. We learned in Rosh Hashanah, we had a whole long sugya about this, that an Esrog, first of all, is different than other trees because it needs a lot of water, it needs not only rainwater, it needs to be watered artificially. Therefore, it's considered more like vegetables, which also have to be watered. And therefore, instead of determining what year it belongs to according to when it grew to one third its full size, instead you go according to when it was picked.
So on the
other hand, it's a tree. So therefore, the Rosh Hashanah for it, we said, is not Rosh Hashanah, but rather Chamisha Asa B'Shvat or Aleph Shvat according to Beis Shammai.
The trees are
and
normally Rosh Hashanah.
And vegetables are Rosh Hashanah. In other words, let's draw out the cases. A person picks vegetables before Rosh Hashanah, they belong to one year. After Rosh Hashanah, they belong to a different year. So, for example, the second year you give Maisa Sheni, the third year you give Maisa Ani. Sixth year is Maisa Ani, seventh year is Shmita, etc. So it goes according to when you picked it. Trees, instead, what we do is to determine when it goes from one year to the next is Chamisha Asa B'Shvat. So if you pick it before, not pick it, with trees, it's if it grows to one-third of its growth before Tu B'Shvat or after it, then you go, then that determines what year it belongs to. Oh, we had all the details
well,
about
that.
That's for it taking root. That's Tu B'Av. It has to take root before Rosh Hashanah for that to be counted as one of the years of Arla. That's a different matter. Anyway,
so
with an estrog, what we're saying is you have a little bit of both. The cutoff date is Chamisha Asar B'Shvat, but the key thing is not how much it grows, but when you pick it. Now, so then, in other words, so if you were to pick one estrog on your Dalet Shvat and the other one on Chamisha Asar B'Shvat, on Tu B'Shvat, then they would belong to two different years. According to Beis Shammai, it's not Chamisha Asar B'Shvat, it's Rosh Chodesh Shvat. So Rabbi Akiva, we learned over there why. So Rabbi Akiva one time picked an esrog on the first of Shvat, and he had an v'nagba bezi surin, and he took two maisers for it. Echad kediva b'shamay, ve'echad kediva b'shilol. Let's say, for example, it was Rosh Chodesh Shvat following the second year of the cycle. The previous year had been the second year. Now we're in the middle of the third year. So according to Beis Shammai, Rosh Chodesh Shvat already belongs to the next year. So it's already the third year. It's Maisa Ani. According to Beis Hillel, Rosh Chodesh Shvat is still 2 weeks before Tu B'Shvat. It still belongs to the previous year, Maisa Sheni.
According to Beis Shammai, it's when?
According to Beis Shammai, it belongs to this year. Here. This year is a Shemitah year. This year, Tav Shanayin Hey is a Shemitah year, so it's not a good example. But let's take last year, for example. Last year, Tav Shanayin Dalet was the sixth year of the cycle. If Rabbi Akiva had picked this esrog on Rosh Chodesh Shvat, Tav Shanayin Dalet, according to Beis Hillel, it's still considered, up until Chamisha Asar B'Shvat, Tav Shanayin Dalet, is still considered an extension of Tav Shanayin Gimel, which is the fifth year. Fifth year is Maisa Sheni. According to Beis Shammai, Rosh Chodesh Shvat begins the new year. It belongs to the sixth year. So he took Maisa Sheni and Maisa Ani from this esrog. And actually, Tosafot says it's not really that he took two different Maisras. What he did is he took the one Maiser, and then he took the one Maiser as Maiser Sheni. Then he redeemed it. He exchanged it for cash, and then he gave that piece of fruit to poor people, and then the money he took to Yerushalayim. So this way he covered all his bases. Shemamina also. So this shows that you actually follow Bith Shama in practice. Otherwise, what's he doing that extra Maiser for? The answer is it's not normally that people do like this Shammai. Rabbi Akiva Gemara iskapikle. Rabbi Akiva had a suffix on the proper on who said what. He forgot whether Beis Hillel holds that the cutoff date is Aleph Shvat or Tesvav Bishvat. So when he took these two, mice, it's not to do one according to Beis Shammai, one according to Beis Hillel. It's one if Beis Hillel says it's that Rosh Chodesh Shvat, and the other if Beis Hillel says it's the 15th of Shvat. Because he himself wasn't sure what Beis Hillel said. But if he had known that Beis Shammai says Aleph Shvat and Beis Hillel says Chamisha Asar, yeah, he would have only taken the one Maaser, because he's not going to follow Beis Shammai in practice.
Just because he wasn't sure about
Beis Hillel. So no proof about anybody doing like Beis Shammai. Masiv Mazdutra. Mazdutra says, I have another proof that we see that Beis Shammai acted according to their own rules. Maisiv Yolda Kalosesh or Shammai Azakin. It happened once that Shammai Azakin's daughter-in-law gave birth during Sukkot, so right before Sukkot. Shammai himself obviously he's going to follow Beis Shammai. Upiches es Maziva. He broke open the plaster on the roof. V'sika chagavim mita, and he put tzchach over his daughter-in-law's bed. Bishvil cotton, for the sake of the cotton. Because we learned in Sukkah that Beis Hillel holds that a cotton is only chayiv in Sukkah. A cotton is only chayiv in Sukkah when he reaches the age of chinuch for it, which we said is when he's ain't tzarech le'imay, when he wakes up in the middle of the night and doesn't repeatedly call for his mother. Whereas Beis Shammai, and Shammai himself holds that not, that a kid of any age is chayiv in Sukkah midrabanan. He put up tzach for the newborn. Actually, Marshall says maybe not. I mean, come on, even Shammai is not going to say that a newborn baby needs to sit in the sukkah. Marshall says that the cotton over here is another, his daughter-in-law had a little older kid who's still tzarech le'ima. He's still like, you know, 2 or 3 years old or whatever. So fine, for his sake. Shammai held he's already of the age of chinuch for it. Whatever the case, we see that Shema mina osu. So we see that Shammai actually acted according to his own shitta. Even though we have this whole suffix whether osu or la'osu, we see here that Shammai clearly did a maisa according to his own shitta. The answer is that's different. Just like we said before, we said at the beginning of the sugya about doing malacha, for example, that if a person doesn't do malacha, even when technically it's mutter, it's not necessarily a matter of lo tisgo to do, even though other people are saying it's mutter, because people will say, you know what, he just doesn't happen to have any work right now. Same idea over here. Hosam hadroya oimala pushi avaka avi. Anybody who sees Shammai doing this is not necessarily going to think he's davka doing it for the mitzvah of sukkah. He's doing it because he wants to have some fresh air, he wants to have some more fresh air in the room. So lav davka anybody's going to conclude that Shammai is actually doing according to his own opinion. Oh, okay, but people can see, but yeah.
We have nothing to do with the cotton.
So it is for the cotton. Shammai himself is actually doing it maybe because he holds that this is the right thing to do. But it's not a matter of loy tisgo to do when Beis Shammai is acting according to this opinion of theirs, because it's not that people are going to say, wait a minute, Beis Hillel is saying one way, Beis Shammai is saying another way, loy tisgo to do, you're all in the same city or whatever. Because people are going to say, you know what, Shammai just wanted to add to bring some fresh air into his daughter-in-law's room.
So he's doing it,
but he's not doing it in a way that makes it obvious that he's following his shitta as opposed to Beis Hillel. Fine, but when we ask also or loy also, it's all based on this loy tisgo to do idea.
He's doing it, but for
yeah.
different reasons.
Yeah.
So
he's doing it. No, he's doing it because he holds this way, but he's not. But everybody else is not going to think he's doing it
because he
holds the cotton needs.
So he's not doing it because of a shitta. He's doing it for.
No, he is doing it because of a shitta, but at least it's not going to cause Lotus Go to do because other people are not going to think he's doing it because of his shitta. They're going to think he's doing it for fresh air. Yeah.
He is doing it for his shitta, but he thinks.
But he makes it look like not. Yeah. Must is Mazutra. So Mazutra says
he is doing.
So he is also right. But again, the point is not so much whether in practice they did anything, but did they do it in a way that people would say, oh, you know what? Look, Beis Shammai is actually following their opinion in practice. Here, he's not doing it in a way that's going to demonstrate that.
Because people are going to say
it's fair. Yeah. Must is Mazutra. Mazutra says I have another contradiction. Here's another case. It happened with the trough of Yehu that was in Yerushalayim. It was called that. I guess the owner of the trough or the person who made it or whatever was named Yehu. A trough, Rashi describes it as a hollowed out stone. So it's able to hold water. Shekes Yehu. That's what it was called. Rashi describes it as a hollowed out stone that was under a pipe that where water was flowing down the mountain through this pipe and into this trough. There was a hole between this trough and a nearby mikveh. We learned about this in Chagiga a little bit, yeah. There was a hole between this trough and the actual mikveh. Now, the water in the trough is considered... Now there's two possibilities of how to look at it. Rashi over here says that the trough did not contain 40 saw, so it itself wouldn't be a kosher mikveh, but mikveh next to it, which was attached, which was connected to it by a hole, had 40 saw in it. That's one way of looking at it. And then we learned at Chagiga about the concept of hashaka, that you can have two bodies of water connected like that, and it's okay. Then you can tovel in the trough. The other way of looking at it is that maybe the water in the trough is considered kosher mikveh water, but there's not enough of it. And the water in the mikveh next to it is also not enough. There's, let's say, 20 saw in each. So by having the hole between them, you have a complete mikveh of 40 saw. Anyway, v'chol taras shayu b'Yerushalayim nas magaba. All the taras that were made in Yerushalayim, anytime anybody is preparing food b'tara, it would be done on the basis of this mikveh, on the basis of people would tovel things in this trough, which they would. It was accepted that it's a kosher thing. However, v'sholchu Beis Shammai v'hu chivua. But Beis Shammai sent messengers to widen the hole. They held that a hole, the size that there was there before, is not enough. Shebet Shammai Omer, Achit Pachas Viroba, because Bet Shammai holds it's not good enough to have two Mekvaros connected. We learned at Chagiga, and we're going to say in a second over here that the halacha is all you need is Shreferet Hanoi, the width of two fingers we learned over there. But Bet Shammai holds that's not enough. Bet Shammai holds most of the width of the wall has to be broken through.
Most.
So they actually sent somebody to actually go and drill the hole and then carve out the hole bigger.
Meaning 3/4?
No, meaning more than half, meaning 51%, yeah? And we learn in a Mishnah, Eruv Mekvaros Kesheferes Hanoid, that to combine together two Mekvaros, you need a hole the size of a Sheferes Hanoid, the size of a tube that you put into a skin bag that you use for wine or what have you. But Ovio of a Chalala, it has to be the thickness and the hollow of it. So it has to be, if this is a tube, it has to be as wide as the entire tube, including the walls of the tube. Kishteyet Bois Chosrus Lamakoma, and this is the size of two fingers that can rotate around. That's what Basilo holds.
In other words, the hole
has to be. If this is a typical Shreferes Hanoid, let's say the hole can't just be the size of this. It has to be the size of this. The actual hole between the two mikvahs has to be big enough that you'd be able to fit the Shreferes Hanoid into it. But the Shammai holds that not. The Shammai is more machmir. They say the wall has to be most of the way broken through. Shmamina also. So there we have a clear case, it seems, where Beit Shammai actually did according to their opinion. They held no good, the combination of this mikvah like this with Shreferes Hanoid, and we see they actually broke it open. And again, the answer is Hossam, no, because there you could say also that when they sent people, people are going to say, people who see it will say, you know why Beit Shammai is making the hole bigger? Not because they hold it has to be bigger, la-halacha, but because you want to have more water in the trough so that people can tell you all things more easily in it. Yeah, but the water mixes more easily or whatever. But it's not necessarily people are going to think that Bishama is doing it l'shitasam. It's the same thing as the sukkah over there. The people won't realize that Bishama is doing it l'shitasam necessarily.
The question is really asu, not why they did it,
right?
In which way they did it.
That's the question, right? When we say asu, first of all. The question also or loy also is, did Beit Shammai do things according to their shitta in a way that are going to make people think that Beit Shammai is following their opinion and Basil is following theirs?
That's one way of seeing it, but you could say the other way around, that they did it because it's their shitta regardless whether or not
that's the question also or loy also. We're trying to prove that osu, but the answer is you can't prove from this that osu. Yes, in practice, they went and broke open the hole, but that could be called loy osu because they did not do it. They didn't publicize, we're doing this because we hold up until this point it was possible. No, we're doing this because for convenience's sake, so there's more water in the trough. That could be called loy osu.
We must say that osu means that not only that it was done according to their shita,
but that people would recognize it's done according to their shita. Exactly. Right. Come, let's try to bring another proof. When I was learning Torah by Rabbi Yechanan Acheroni, I saw that during hunger years, during famine years, he was eating just dry bread and salt. He couldn't afford anything else. So I went and informed my father, Rabbi Tzadik. Amali, so Rabbi Tzadik tells me, go bring him some olives so he has at least something to eat with his bread. So I brought him olives. Rabbi Yochanan Acheroni noticed that the olives are wet. Now, the thing is like this. Olives, usually what they would do in those days, when you harvest olives, you put them in a barrel to soften them up and eventually get them ready for pressing. During that time, when they're piled up over there in a barrel, a kind of juice comes out of them. That juice is called in halakha moichel. In the Mishnayos that we learned in Yeshmal and Asamikvah and in Perek Zayin and Mikvah, you have a couple of cases. Nachmal Tzecha Yayin Umoichel. A couple of cases over there.
It's juice.
The thing is, we have to distinguish it from the actual oil. The actual oil comes out when you press the olives. This is kind of like a juice. Yeah. Now, as we're going to talk about in a minute, there's machloikus b'shama b'silo whether this moichel is able to be machshir than l'kabel tumah. Or whether we say no, that only the actual oil. Oil is definitely one of the Shiva Mashim, there's no question it can be Mashir. What about this moil? What about this moihel or moichel, whatever you want to call it? So, in this case, Rabbi Yochanan Acheroni noticed that the olives are wet. And if they're wet, Rashi says, the problem is that what if an Amma'aretz touched the outside of the barrel and made them tame? the outside of the barrel. In other words, Rashi seems to be implying Rabbi Yochanan Acharoni is not going to suspect Rav Tzadik of allowing an Amor to touch the inside of the barrel. Obviously, Rav Tzadik is better than that. But he's concerned that maybe he allowed an Amor to touch the outside of the barrel. Or Tosfos says maybe not even he's concerned. He may have known for sure. He knew for a fact that Rav Tzadik had bought this barrel of olives from an Amor. So necessarily an Amor touched the outside of it. In that case... No, but okay, at least you could say maybe it was one of those times when you learned the Chagiga that the Amaretz Amur Neman on the Tara, but still, you might have touched the outside. The Aruch HaNer has a whole long, interesting explanation, a little bit differently, that he wants to say that we're dealing here with an issue of Chulin Shenasu Al Taras HaKodesh versus do they have the status of Kodesh, do they have the status of Truma? That would make a difference, therefore, whether if an Amaretz touches the outside of the barrel, whether it's okay or not. If it's considered Kodesh, then no. We said that one of the milos of Kodesh, we said there, is if the outside of the Kodesh becomes Tommy, then everything is Tommy. Whereas if it only has the status of Truma, then no. If an Amor touches the outside of the barrel, it's not a big deal. Anyway, so Rabbi Yochanan Acharoni is concerned now. These olives seem to be Tommy. They're wet. They may have been in a, according to Rashi, they may have been in a place, or according to Tosfos, they were for sure in a place where they're able to become Tomei. Well, then they're Tomei. So Rabbi Yochanan Acharoni, he doesn't explicitly want to say, I don't want to eat these because I don't hold their tahor. It's not a derecheristic thing to do. He says, Ein ani chozesim, I don't eat olives. He's using like an excuse. Basi vaydaitias abba, so Rabbi Lozor of Tzadik says, I went and told my father. Obviously, I know perfectly well he eats olives. He's just using an excuse. Amali, Rav Tzadik, is my father, Rav Tzadik tells me, Leich ve'emar lo, go tell him, don't worry, Chavis nikuva haitza, the barrel actually had a hole in it, so that all the moichel should have drained out. Ela shosasmu ha-shmarim, just that the shmarim, the bits and pieces of the olive that get crushed, the dregs over there closed up the hole, so that's how some of the liquid stayed inside. In other words, what Rav Tzadik is saying is, effectively, even if you hold that the moichel is able to be machshel the kabel truma, but it's only like any other liquid we learned a few times already, it's only if it's l'ratzon, only if you want the liquid to be on there. Here, I bedavka did not want the liquid to be on there. I actually punched holes in the barrel so it'll drain out. The holes accidentally got stopped up, but that's why the olives are wet. But they were never machshel the kabel truma, even if you want to say that moichel is machshel, because it wasn't l'ratzon. Everybody agrees that it has to be l'ratzon, yeah. Utnan, and we learn in a Mishnah, how does this relate to Bishama Vitzilah? Because we learn in a Mishnah in Adias, Chavis Shal Zeitzim Migugolim, a barrel full of olives that are pressed together in the barrel. Migugolim actually means that they're not so soft, and they're not so soft yet, like they become one big mass. Migugolim means like they're still a little bit hard enough that you can roll them around. Anyway, Bishama, so it's at the point when only Mochel is coming out. Bishama says you do not have to punch a hole in the barrel because the moichel will not be machshir the kabel truma. It's not oil. It's not machshir. Or Vesil says you do have to make a hole in it because the moichel is just like oil. It'll be machshir. So you have to make a hole to show that you don't want it over there. Everybody agrees that if you made a hole and then accidentally it got stopped up with the dregs, then she tahara, that everything is tahara.
Is
what? Yes, this is one of those cases. Yeah. Now, what's the point? But Afal Pisha Talmud Shammai Haya, even though he, meaning Rav Tzadik, was a Talmud of Shammai, called myself like also Elikadiv Beis Hillel. Everything that he did in practice, he would only follow Beis Hillel. According to the Aruch HaNer, it's different, actually. It means Rabbi Yochanan Acharoni was a Talmud of Beis Shammai. He would, even though he was a Talmud of Beis Shammai, he in practice would act like this Hillel. So that's why he's concerned about when he sees these olives are wet. He's concerned that a hole hadn't been punched in the barrel, and Rabbi Lazar of Tzadik tells him that there was. Now, Iyam of Bishlema also, if you say that Beis Shammai normally acted according to their own shitta, even when people know that they're going according to their own shitta, Hain Rabusi. So fine, that's the big chiddush we're saying about Rabbi Tzadik or about Rabbi Yochanan, that he... unusually among the Talmudim of Beis Shammai went according to Beis Hillel. Eliyamet also, but if you say that nobody from Beis Shammai went according to their Shitta, my Rabuse, then what's the Chiddush about him? So obviously the implication is that also, and he is an exception. So there you have a clear proof that also. Yeah, good. So the Gemara leaves it at that, so it leaves that one as it is. Okay, so we have one good proof so far that also. Tashma, still the Gemara keeps on with proofs, as Kedat de Bakardish. Tashma, Shalu as Rabbi Yeshua. They once asked Rabbi Yeshua, Tzoras Abbas Mahu, what is this din of Tzoras Abbas? What's the bottom line? Is she allowed to have Yibum? Is there no Zika? Is she also to do Yibum, etc.? As you know, it's a machloikus. They ask him, okay, nu v'halach k'divimi, who is the halacha like? Now, even though, as we said yesterday, that there was a baskel that came out that said the halacha is like this hill, but Rabbi Yeshua is the one who says, ein mashgichin b'baskel. So he can't say, okay, you know, there's a baskel, listen to that. He has to, yeah. Yeah. Amulahem, Rabbi Yeshua says to them, m'pnei ma at machnusin roishi ben shnei horim g'dolim. What are you sticking my head in between two big mountains, ben shnei machloikus g'dolus, between these two great opinions who are arguing? Ben mishamay b'sillo. I'm afraid that if I pass in halacha like the Hillel, that people are going to crush my head. Meaning, we said before, this is getting back to your question, if we say the halacha is like the Hillel, it means anybody up until that point who was doing Yibum like the Shammite, their children are mamzerim. So Rabbi Yeshua is nervous. If I go and openly pass in halacha like the Hillel, people are going to be very upset with me. I've just declared the mamzerim. So I don't want to get involved. Avol, but he continues, and he made Lachem, I'll give you Aedus, I'll shtei Mishpachas Gerlis Shoyi B'Yerushalayim. There were two great families in Yerushalayim, Mishpachas Beit Tzvoyi Miben Achmoi, or Mishpachas Beit Kufoi Miben Bekoshish. No, we haven't talked about them before, but these two different families, Shehen B'nei Tzoros, they were the descendants of Tzoros, who according to the Hillel should be Osir. Or Fakert, maybe there were Tzoros who didn't have Yibum and according to who went according to Beis Hillel and went Lashuk and went and married others without getting Yibum or Chalitza. We'll get to that later. Either way, Umehem Koinim Gdolim v'Shim Shor Agabe HaMizbeach. There were Koinim Gdolim from those families who actually served on the Mizbeach. No, so we'll get back to what this means exactly, but it means we'll get back to what this Aedus means exactly soon. The Gemara will get back to it, but in any case, that's what he says. Going back to E Amit Bishlema also again, if you say that Shammai actually acted according to their opinion, so there were Tzoros who actually did Yibum Hanu Dechama Mesiarani, and that's why he's afraid that now people, there's going to be people who now are going to be declared Mamzerim because of that. Eli Amit Loy also, am I Kama Mesiarani? If they never did it in practice, who is he afraid of? So when he to pass in halacha like the Hillel. So what? Let's go back a minute. Let's backtrack a minute. Unihi nami de osu. Even if we say that Shammai did do according to their opinion, my Mesiarani, why is he afraid? Ha'amar Rabbi Yeshua in Mamza El Machayv and Mrs. Basin. Rabbi Yeshua himself holds that we're going to have later on in the Daphnim test and the blots around there, the several different opinions, what makes a mamzer. We had a few days ago the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, who's very machmir, who says that any lab even makes a mamzer. On the other extreme, we have Rabbi Yeshua says only chayv and misses based in, only the erbus that it says in the Torah chayv misses based in. In between, we have the other chachamim who say that it's any case of kores or misses based in, which is halacha. Rabbi Yeshua himself holds only Mrs. Bastin. Now, in this case over here, of Tzoras Abbas, it's only a matter of Koris. There's no Mrs. Bastin involved. If a person marries Tzoras Abbas, according to Beis Hillel, she's an Erva. She's Eishes Och. But Eishes Och is only Koris. There's no Mrs. Bastin. So according to Rabbi Yeshua himself, kids aren't going to be Mamzerim. So who is he afraid of? Let's say yes, but Shammai all this time has been marrying off the Tzoros to the Yevamos. They've been doing Yibum all this time. What's Rabbi Yeshua all of a sudden saying? I'm afraid there's now going to be people who are going to be declared Mamzerim if I pass an halacha like this Hillel. What do you mean? You yourself, Rabbi Yeshua, hold that they're not Mamzerim. So why are they going to be upset with you? What makes
because,
them?
Because there'll be Mitzvah
Seisin. Because there's no Mitzvah Seisin involved. No. Because there's no Mrs. Bastin involved, therefore they're not Mamzerim, according to Rabbi Yeshua.
According to Rabbi Yeshua,
it's only the kids are not Mamzerim. So who is he afraid of?
He's afraid of Rabbi Kashi's head.
Yes.
He's afraid of Rabbi Kiva.
Fine, Rabbi Kiva says they're Mamzerim. If people come to Rabbi Yeshua and complain, how you talk and you pass in halacha like this, he'll say, you know what? Don't argue with me. I don't hold it against me. I hold your mothers weren't allowed to marry the Yevamim. I also hold you're not Mamzerim. You have a problem with Rabbi Akiva, you have a problem with the Chachamim, take it up with them. Go break their heads. And why is Rabbi Yeshua nervous about his head being broken? The answer is, okay, Nihi Nami de Mamzer Lehavi. It's true that Rabbi Yeshua holds that the kid from such a thing will not be a Mamzer, Pogum Miyahavi, but nevertheless, Rabbi Yeshua will consider him to be Pogum, meaning a Cholol. Why? Mekabachot. No, so a Cholol is going to be, a person is going to be very upset that they're a Cholol, they can't serve in the Beth Mikdash. That might be reason enough for them to go and beat him up. Yeah. How do we know this? Mekabachomer me'almona. We can make a Kabachomer based on an Almona. When an almona if an almona marries a kohen gadol, we know the Torah says a kohen gadol has to marry a psula. He's not allowed to decide for grusha, chalala, and zoyna, which no kohen is allowed to marry. A kohen gadol is also not allowed to marry an almona. And ma almona she'in isur noyeg b'kol b'nat pogum. An almona where the isur is not by everybody. It's only to a kohen gadol. And yet, if a kohen gadol marries or has relations, whatever, with an almona, then the child is pogum, is chalal. Zursi, Shura Shavim Makal Kula, so a chalutza or a grusha or whatever, where the isser is, or actually in this case over here, this woman, this Yivama, who Basila holds is also to do Yivum, there's no Zika, and she's also as Eshes Ach, she's also, the isser applies equally to everybody. So how much more so he'd be a chalal? Because the Gemara is going to bring the whole Kavachayim soon. So therefore, that's what Rabbi Yeshua is nervous about. I don't want to openly paskin halacha like Basilo because it's true I don't hold the children from these things I'm observing, but I do hold the halalim, and people are going to be upset that I'm declaring them halalim.
Halalim because they.
Yeah. But because that's what it is, because we're making this kavachomer. But wait, we're going to get back to this kavachomer now in a minute. The question is, I'm going to ask, what's going on over here? Kabo minet soris v'kaposhet le b'nei soris. They start out by asking Rabbi Yeshua that Tzoras Habas herself is she allowed to do Yibum Chalitza. How is he answering it by mentioning about these families of Kohanim Gdolim, about these families that have Kohanim Gdolim in them, which involves the children? These are two different issues. Is she allowed to have Yibum? And a second question, if she does do Yibum, are they Mamzerim or are they Chalolim or what have you? These are two different things. How are you confusing the two things? The answer is, Tauti Kaboymine. They asked him two questions like that. They were actually asking him two questions in one. Number one, Tzores Mai. Number one, what is the din of the Tzores? Are they allowed to do Yibum, or are they also to do Yibum? Tauti Kaboymine. They were asking him two questions. Question number one, Tzores Mai. What is the din about the Tzores themselves? Should they have Yibum, or should they not have Yibum? Number two, Vim Tim Tzoloima Tzores Kibes Hilo. If you're going to say that the answer with the Tzara herself is like this Hillel, that they're also to do Yibum because it's Eishes Achiv and there's no Zika, then the question becomes, B'nei Tzores to Bis Hillel of the Shammai Mahu. Then according to Bis Hillel, who says that the Tzara can go marry whoever she wants, there's no Zika, what will Bis Shammai hold as the din of those children? Are we going to say that they're Mamzerim or Pegumim or something else, or just Kasha? L'may Nafkamina? What do we need to know? Given the halachas like Vesilol, who cares what Bis Shammai would say about it? The answer is Lemifshat Vlad Machzegur Shase the Vesilol. The answer is we could use that to answer the question which we had the other day. If a person divorces his wife, she marries somebody else, then she returns to him and he remarries her, which is also the halacha. What's the din of that child? Is that child considered pogrom or is considered a cholol or a mamzer or what have you?
How can we mishat from one case to another?
The question is like this: Mi karin and kavachomer. Can we make the kavachomer that we just said a couple of lines ago? Uma almana the kohen gadol sheni suro shav v'akol b'na pogrom. And almana marries the kohen gadol, then the ister only applies to a kohen gadol, and yet we say the child is a cholol. Zushi sura shava b'kol. In this case, the case of the sora marrying out l'shuk, which is also according to Bais Shammai for everybody, or the case of machzor grushase, which again would be also for everybody. Anybody who's machzor grushase is also to do that. And it didn't should be not pogrom. Wouldn't it be all the more kavachimah that the kid should be pogrom, that they should be a cholol? Or maybe we can slog up that kavachomer. Mala amana shehi atzmam is chalolas. How can you prove it? An amana is a special case. She herself becomes a chalola when the kohen gadol marries her and has relations with her. She at that point becomes a chalola. If she herself was the daughter of a kohen, for example, at that point she becomes also tiit truma. As opposed to this machzor grushase, where she's already a grusha. There's no issue of her becoming chalol. Or the case of the Yivama L'shuk, again, she doesn't necessarily become a cholol. That's the question. Can we make this Kal V'Chomer, or can we say that Almana is a special case?
Because the Almana...
Because Almana herself becomes a Halala, whereas the Mukhzeres, the Mugureshes, the Mukhzeres, or the Yavama L'Shuk does not become a Halala.
That we know for sure.
Yeah. Again, in the case of the Grusha, she's already also to Kohenim anyway, because she's a Grusha.
Right.
And in the case of the Yavam L'Shuk, she doesn't. In the case of the Yavam L'Shuk, she doesn't become a Chol. Yeah. V'amalahu. So now on these two questions, the answer is like this: as far as the Tzorot, you're asking me whether the Tzorot are allowed to marry. I'm answering you, Misyarani. I'm afraid of saying who the halacha is like, because then if I say the halacha is like the Hillel, effectively means that the children of these things are going to be bnei chai v'krisis, and according to everybody else except me, they're going to be mamzerim. And bnei Tzorot. What are you're asking me? What about the other way around? According to Bis Hillel, when this Tzara goes and marries somebody else, Yavama L'Shuk, where according to Bis Shammai it's an Isulav, what happens to the children? He answers, I'm not made Lachem. I have an Aedus for you, these families, where they had Kohenim Gdolim in them. Where we see, therefore, obviously, if they were Chalolim, then Bis Shammai wouldn't allow them to become Kohenim Gdolim. If we see there were families if we see that these families had Kohenim Gdolim in them, it shows that Bis Shammai holds that even though it's an Isulav, that we don't use that Kal V'Chomer. We say an Almona is a special case. The kids from this Yavama L'Shuk are not Chalolim. So that answers that. So he's answered the Seichat Varim, both questions. He's saying, I don't want to tell you what the halacha is about the tzores themselves, because people are going to conclude that the kids of tzores who did Yibum are Mamzerim, which if the halacha is like this Hillel. On the other hand, you're asking me if people have been following this Hillel and going Yavama L'Shuk, what happens with the kids? According to Bis Shammai, the answer is Bis Shammai doesn't have a problem with those kids. A proof, we see that those families had Kohenim Gdolim in them. And Bis Shammai did not protest that those people are not allowed to be Kohenim Gdolim.
We didn't answer the question of what happens to the descendants of the Tzaras, according to the opinion of Bis Shammai.
So that's the thing. What we're saying is, anybody who did Yibum, according to Bis Shammai, Bis Hillel is going to hold that, yes, it's Chai V'Krisis.
Right.
Yes, so Bis Hillel holds that those are Chai V'Krisis. Yes, those children are going to be Mamzeidim according to everybody except Rabbi Yeshua. On the other hand, anybody who followed Bis Hillel and went Yavama L'Shuk, did not do Chalitza or Yivum, then Rabbi Yeshua is saying, Bis Shammai will agree that there's no problem with those children. It was an Isulav.
Right.
It was an Isulav, but an Isulav doesn't make Mamzerim, and we slugged up the Kal V'Chomer over here, so it doesn't even make them Pegumim, doesn't even make them Chalalim.
Right. So the Tzaras, children are still, according to Bis Shammai, they're still Mamzerim.
If they did Yibum, according to, if they followed Bis Shammai and did Yibum, yes, according to Bis Hillel, they're going to be Mamzerim. There's no escape from that. Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah.